This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't know if I was expecting this, but I'm actually far more into the Olympics and the competitions. 32 sports, by the way. 18 days of events and thrill of victory, agony of defeat, 18 days of medal ceremonies and podiums and national anthems and 32 different sports, all kinds of variations, right? So team competition, individual competitions, and then the way that we see athletes kind of navigate who are in multiple events like swimming, for instance, or track and field. It's complicated. It's convoluted. It's an all-out sprint for 18 days. And I was expecting that I would be into the events that I'm generally into, but I've really gotten sucked into some of the other events and some of the other teams and athletes that I'd not heard of before. And that's what the Olympics are good for. It's awesome to hear the stories, to get introduced to athletes who are not household names. In fact, this may be the only time that they are introduced or recognized around the United States or even around the world in some cases. And yet, for these couple weeks, it's awesome to be able to immerse ourselves in their stories and in these competitions. And it's fun, too, because when we talk about this with sports, how they have the power to heal and to unify and to bring people together across all of our various cultural and language and ethnic and socioeconomic barriers, they do that because we can all celebrate and appreciate human achievement. And sometimes, honestly, I think I'm more sucked in by the stories of athletes who are not superstars, millionaires, right? We all know about the WNBA, the NBA, certainly the fact that in basketball and soccer, not on the men's side, but women's side, you've got athletes who are used to competing with the national teams. I mean, the men's case, the men's basketball case, they're going for a fifth straight gold medal. The women are going for an eighth straight gold medal. So yeah, we know these athletes for the most part. It's kind of fun to meet competitors, get introduced to stories like Steven Nedorosic. Seriously, raise your hand outside of the Penn State community if you've ever heard of Steven Nedorosic before this week. Or even before Monday. And now, right now, he's trending. He's being hailed as a hero for the USA men's gymnastics squad. It's pretty amazing. Again, 5 years down the road, he's an answer to a trivia question. The majority of people probably can't place, where have I heard that name or where do I know him from? But it doesn't matter, right? Because at that point, no one can ever take away his moment, his medal, this experience. And that's what I love. Even after the lights have been turned out, the TV coverage is done, people have dispersed to their various nations and gone back to their lives pre-Olympics. Those memories, those experiences, those last forever. They can never be taken away for these athletes. And I had all the feels watching USA Gymnastics capture bronze, the men's team competition. So the women have their team competition coming up on Tuesday. Simone Biles will compete in the all-around despite tweaking her calf. Not a surprise there. So no, this is not a repeat of Tokyo. It's nothing to do with mental health, and there's no chance she's going to sit out. It's something she's dealt with before, and I dare say most athletes, if not the majority of time, at least part of the time in their careers, are competing with muscles that are sore or some other type of injury, nagging injury that just doesn't heal as long as you're using that body part. So the women will compete on Tuesday. Flashy, splashy, they're dazzling, they're fun, they're megawatt smiles. I mean, women's gymnastics is a marquee event. Men's gymnastics, probably not so much. But here's what I learned when I was covering gymnastics at Oklahoma. And that's a program on the men's side that has won multiple national championships. I learned that the gymnasts actually have far more injuries and require far more surgeries as a squad than does the football team. It is a rough sport. Think about it, the rings and the pressure and the strength that is required in your arms, your shoulders, lots of shoulder injuries, lots of torn muscles, lots of rotator cuffs, all of those things. They are tough. And yet men's gymnastics doesn't get quite the same marquee on the billboard. And it stands to reason. The girls are cute. And in some cases, they're teenagers. They're all dressed up, their hair, their makeup. It's designed to be performance, artistic. Almost like a play or a show that you might see on Broadway. And so it's understandable. We're so drawn to women's gymnastics, but men's gymnastics, it's strength, it's consistency. Goodness, it's courage. It's athletic. It's power. And it may not be as dazzling, but gosh, it can be just as death-defying. So I had all the feels watching the men capture bronze and end a 16-year drought. 16 years they'd finished off the podium in the Olympics, in the team competition. And there were incredible routines. There was much of jumping around and celebrating, fist pumping, yelling, their support for each other. And then the joy of the parents and the families, the tears, of course, the unadulterated happiness, wild abandon. This is the stuff that dreams are made of. So if you have not seen the men's Olympic competition, please go back and watch it. In fact, it's airing overnight here on NBC. It's terrific. The U.S. men didn't have high expectations because they didn't perform great in qualifying. I mean, they had a couple of tough falls, including with Brody Malone. And he's the only returning Olympian, which adds to the story, adds to the drama. So they go through qualifying. They're one returning Olympian with any experience. The best guy on the team, the leader of the team, he actually struggles in a couple events. So they don't qualify as well as what they're capable of. But they go out there and through five rotations, they get better and better and better. And each one goes out there and takes care of his business, rises to the occasion, and you can feel the excitement, the anticipation building. And by the time they get to Pommel Horse, they've got a guy named Steven Nedorosik, who is a specialist. He wears glasses. Not that there's anything wrong with glasses, but that's how you know who he is. He watched the rest of his squad perform every other event. But he is on the team because he is one of the best in the world at pommel horse. So they actually gave him a spot on the team, even though the only event he does is pommel. Think about it. There were other qualified gymnasts that were left off the team that were not taken to Paris because he is so good at this one event. And so he watches his teammates perform. They outperform their qualifying numbers and put themselves in position for a medal. But they need him to nail his routine. He is the last American to go. It takes, I don't know, maybe 60 seconds of your time if you don't want to watch the whole competition to find Steven Nedorosic pommel horse on YouTube. I'm telling you, the reaction alone from his teammates is worth it. And his reaction too. A near flawless routine that's extremely difficult. I hear he did leave out one element that was tricky. So at the last minute kind of eliminated it because it would be better not to have it in there than to have it in there and not nail it. So instead he takes that one tricky element out but has others in. Near flawless. Sticks the landing. And not only does he erupt just shouting and yelling, but his teammates freak out. And they have to wait a couple of minutes then for his score to come up and then for the official final results, the final standings to flash up on the screen. And the celebration continues that whole time. It's amazing. And of course, there's shots of the families that are there in Paris, but also the families that are scattered around the United States. And I had all the feels. I got teary watching this drama play out in Paris on NBC. Just amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. When I ask you your favorite moments in Opéry, that is definitely one of mine. Here we are a few days into the games. And yeah, this reminds me of going back to, say, Carrie Strug and her competing in vault. Remember on what was, Manny shaking his head, no, I don't remember, what was a gimpy ankle. She had to be carried off of, well, she had to be carried up to the podium because she was injured and couldn't walk. And this is going back to, gosh, Atlanta. So I was much younger, obviously, all of us were, 1996.
Oh, I wasn't around.
No, I was going to say, but I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, I can picture it now, yeah.
She nailed the vault that clinched the gold for the women's team, for Team USA, after she hurt her ankle. And so she really became not just a household name, but an Olympic icon. You may not remember anybody else on that team, though I hope you do. You may not remember the rest of them, but you remember Carrie Strug, who couldn't then walk up to the podium when it was time for them to accept their gold medals. There are others, though. Dominique Mochianu, who's been a guest here on the show. Dominique Dawes, Amy Chow, Shannon Miller. Having lived in Oklahoma for a while, Shannon Miller is a legend there. So yeah, this is a Carrie Strug moment, if you will. Steven Nedorosic is the men's version of Carrie Strug. And she did compete in other events, but that was the one that people remember. Congratulations to the U.S. men's gymnastics team. Lots of swimming as well. Really enjoy watching the swimming. Summer McIntosh, such a star for Canada. Lots of other Americans, too. And then to the team sports as well. So we'll get to the highlights, but USA men's gymnastics capturing the day, if you will, for the red, white, and blue in Paris. So online, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's good to hear from so many of you as you've weighed in about the Olympics. We also got Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal at the Olympics. Dozens and dozens of meetings between those two of the greatest ever. And then we get this bonus match at the Olympics. And if you didn't know this, Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz are actually competing together in doubles, which is intriguing as well. USA women's basketball, USA women's volleyball, who is the defending, well, they're both the defending gold medalists in their respective sports. And so there's plenty to choose from. And I'm wondering, too, how many of you know the results before you watch in the evenings? Or if you're watching, so a lot of the events are live, but you have to check other channels. So you might have to go with CNBC or NBC Sports or blah, 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 blah. So you, E is another one, or USA.
E, USA, NBC, CNBC.
Yeah. So these are the networks, and they do carry the events live. So they are carrying them live. But they're weird places and different networks that you maybe don't watch all the time. Plus, they're different times during the day. Or do you wait and kind of take the package that NBC offers in primetime? So it's NBC primetime. And it's really emotional. That's one of the reasons why I get so into it, is the reaction of the athletes. And again, a lot of athletes that we've not heard of, especially if they're brand new Olympians, like the majority of the men's gymnastics team. Almost all of them newbies, except for Brody Malone. So we'll hear from them, Steven Nedorosic and Brody. And honestly, I wish we were able to give you any type of post-game reaction from the women's basketball team. Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart, WNBA MVPs, both of them. The coach, Cheryl Reeve, we've got nothing. It is so hard to find reaction other than what you actually see on TV. And I know this, even Westwood One is having a hard time finding any type of post-game or post-event reaction. So thankfully, we were able to grab some of the gymnastics team from the NBC family of networks. We also have a bunch of football. Patrick Mahomes asked the question of whether or not he's underpaid, because that's my theory. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, actually. So Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, he had a really hard year. Did you know that? 2023 was a really hard year for him. Huh. I bet that caught some people by surprise. There's a battle going on in camp for another AFC West team. Caleb Williams, the overall number one pick. He wants to get out there for the Hall of Fame game, which is this week. This week, you guys. This week we have preseason football. Wowzers. I can't even possibly wrap my brain around the fact that Thursday is August 1st. But want to hear something cool? Just as a side note, you don't need to celebrate it. Don't at me. This time last year, I had just gotten engaged. That's kind of crazy to think about everything that changed in the last year. Yeah, actually, on Tuesday, so tomorrow, it'll be a year that I met all of Bob's family. So we got engaged hours later, off to meet the whole damn family. It was amazing, but it was overwhelming. I think I talked for 8 hours straight. Not that I can't do that, but I was tired. So find me online, A-Law Radio, our show account at Amy After Hours. Also, our Facebook page, another place that you can weigh in. And we'll let you hear from cult hero, gymnastics cult hero, Steven Nedorosic. In fact, if I can find from our show Twix, if I can find the video quickly, I'll go ahead and share it with you, because even if you don't know a thing about pommel horse or gymnastics, the celebration, pure unadulterated joy. I love that stuff. I'm a sucker for all these human emotions and displays. Glad to have you with us. Hope you survived your Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. Walking on a
dream. Here's Amy Lawrence. Talking to myself.
Will I see again? It's just another manic Monday, but it's now in the rearview mirror, thankfully. Always makes it a little easier when we get past the Monday and move forward into a Tuesday and the rest of the week. And Manny is with us all week. I've already seen some endorsements from Manny as the new producer of the show, which is really funny, because not that I asked, but we have a running commentary. People just sharing their opinions about various producers who are filling in. But the endorsement, the one endorsement I got from Manny on our Facebook page was so blatant and really didn't give an explanation. It was just a Manny in all capitals, Manny for producer. And so, I don't know, I kind of brought it up to Manny and suggested that potentially it was a burner account, that he had created an account for himself and decided to be a top fan of the Facebook page.
That is my 37th burner account. Call me Kevin Durant.
I was just going to say, who are you, Kevin Durant? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227.
He's an idiot.
That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard this before we get to the gymnastics. In the Olympic Village, there is apparently a lot of frustration with the accommodations. Simone Biles has pointed out that the beds are made of cardboard. They're rock solid. Now, think about it. If you are an athlete that needs to go out and perform your absolute best, have the routine in the case of gymnastics, the routine or routines of your lifetime, and your bed frame is made of cardboard so that it can be recycled. That's according to Olympus organizers. The beds were made of cardboard so they can be recycled afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah. Cardboard beds for athletes in the Olympic Village, but a lot of the athletes are posting on social that they're having a hard time sleeping because the beds are uncomfortable. And that includes Simone Biles.
Are the blankets just the tissue?
I hope not. Although something else I read, my husband actually sent me the link to a story. Something else I read is that a lot of the places don't have AC. So yeah,
I did see that.
A tissue is probably all that you need. And now I don't know if this applies to the women's gymnastics team. It doesn't sound like, since Simone posted the bed sucks, but we are getting mattress toppers tomorrow. So hopefully it'll get better.
Oh, that was, heavens.
Yeah, that was with fingers crossed emoji. What the Daily Mail is reporting is that a lot of athletes are leaving the Olympic Village and are heading to hotels. For a lot of reasons, cardboard beds, no air conditioning, tiny rooms, long commutes to their competition. So the Olympic Village is not close to where a lot of these events are taking place. And how about this? Vegan-friendly food. Now, I have nothing against vegans, if that's what you choose. But think about what these athletes are doing on a regular basis. They're training and competing. They're burning fuel like nobody's business. As much as a nice balanced diet with some vegetables and other vegan-friendly foods is welcome, they also need protein. They also need probably carbs. They also need a heavier diet because they're burning so much fuel.
So what you're saying is that there's a scarcity of food.
Well, it's vegan food, which is not generally something you would associate with athletes who are competing at the highest level. Coco Gauff, who of course is 20 years old.
I'm familiar with her.
Right, and is competing in her first Olympics. She actually said that the entire women's tennis team has gone to a hotel because there were 10 of them and just two bathrooms. So again, this is all according to the Daily Mail. Coco Gauff posted a TikTok that shows she and her teammates packed into a very tiny living space. And as you can imagine, lots of facial expressions and reactions before they left and moved to a hotel. Apparently, the facility, the Olympic Village, cost $1.6 billion. And the most they could come up with are cardboard beds. It was created with an eco-friendly mission. Oh, all right then. Let's make sure that it's eco-friendly as opposed to athlete-friendly or user-friendly, because what's most important is the environment, not the people who are living in the environment. So they have no air conditioning and a shortage of meat products.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how's it going?
Oh, my God. gosh. So a lot of the Olympics organizers are getting criticized, or the Paris Olympic organizing group is getting criticized because they're not providing the protein heavy diets and meals needed for the athletes. And it's not just Americans who are complaining. Australians, Canadians, it's all kinds of athletes from all over the world. In fact, in one case, an athlete says the lack of world records boils down to this whole eco-friendly, carbon footprint, vegan-first mentality rather than high performance. That's a direct quote from the Daily Mail. Let me figure out, let's see which athlete it is. Oh, it's a retired Australian swimmer who is speaking on behalf of the current Aussie swim team. They had a charter that said 60% of food in the village had to be vegan friendly. And the day before the opening ceremony, they ran out of meat and dairy options in the village because they hadn't anticipated so many athletes would be choosing the meat and dairy over vegan friendly. Duh. My gosh. I'm going to guess that not many of the members of the organizing committee are world-class athletes, have competed in the past. Oh my goodness. So yeah, no air conditioning, cardboard beds, vegan-friendly diets, tiny conditions, not enough bathrooms. And so athletes are leaving the Olympic Village. Ah, score another one for Paris. That, along with the water quality of the Seine River that's resulted in the postponement of events. So we'll get to that too. Still, in spite of all that, in spite of all the challenges, it's been pretty amazing to see the accomplishments of the athletes so far. I will readily admit to being teary at times over their reactions and watching their accomplishments. And this is in spite of cardboard beds. Cardboard beds. You know how tough it is. Marco Belletti and I are seeing each other for the first time in about 3 weeks. You know how tough it is when you go to a hotel and it's a bed that you're not used to and it's not comfortable. And I will say that there have been times where I have not slept well at all in a hotel bed and had to get up the next day and do a basketball game or whatever. But yeah, it's really frustrating when you need a good night's sleep and the bed is awful. And now here they are sleeping on cardboard beds and they're extremely stiff and have no give in them. And these are athletes who are expected to go out and then perform their absolute best.
And this is not the first time. We've done this before, and it comes down to the same thing. Like, I got to be fair. And again, I know I'm called the pessimist or whatever. I'm calling BS on all this. This is not eco-friendly. This is not about vegan, whatever. This money. Is about saving money.
Yeah,
that's all money. That is they don't care about any of these athletes because it has nothing to do with them saving money. That's all it is. They don't care if they perform at their best. They don't care if they're hurt. They don't care about any of it. Money. That's what they care about.
Hmm.
And it's have we seen this cardboard bed before? Because I'm pretty sure we have.
In Tokyo.
They didn't learn the last time. They learned. You know what they learned? How much money are we saving? That's what they learned. They don't care. They don't care. No one does.
How do you really feel about it, Marco?
No, it's true. It's so true. It's all about money.
And I'm tired of hearing, because you know why? They take these words that are buzzwords that get everybody all kind of, you know, jazzed up, whatever, eco-friendly, and all this stuff. All it is I'm cheap and I'm saving money. And I'm trying to get you to deflect from realizing that I'm saving money by screwing over all the athletes. That's what that is. And it annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, so some of the other athletes who have been quoted, well, not quoted, TikTok. Some of the other athletes from other nations. A gymnast from the Philippines had a TikTok and said that it's not very soft. We went into the village and we're analyzing the bed. She said it's a thin mattress topper, and the mattress itself, which is, she said, looks like hot glue. I don't know what that means. Another Australian water polo player called the mattress rock hard. Her roommate declared her back is about to fall off after sleeping on it for a night. Oh, can you imagine having to go out there and perform perform when your back is killing you?
No.
That is the worst. A crick in your neck, something like that.
And my guess is, I would imagine, I don't know, but I would think a lot of them are going to wind up sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, so actually, it's funny that you say that, because one of the team managers, so this is the Australian water polo team, they talked to their team manager, and the team manager went out and bought thick mattress toppers, and so she then posts how grateful she is because she was, quote, waking up every second hour. I actually thought about going on the floor. I thought about it, but I didn't. Yeah, so, I mean, to now, I guess you could say they're trying to run up they're trying to boost the economy with a run on mattress toppers in Paris and in France. Maybe it's they're in collusion with the mattress topper companies.
Yeah. Why is the reason they don't have air conditioning there? What is that for? Yeah. That's for the environment?
It's the middle of the
summer. Stop it. That's not the environment. They don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. I have such a hard time sleeping in the heat. I cannot imagine trying to sleep with no AC.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, it's disgusting. And then on top of it, I find it hard to believe that most of them haven't kind of ditched it. If that bed is as uncomfortable as it sounds,
mm-hmm.
as much as nobody wants to sleep on the floor is, at least it's stable. It doesn't have the same issues that I would think that type of bed would give you. Last thing you want to do is sleep on the floor. Hand raised, I've done it a million times. It sucks every time, but I would think that's better than whatever that is that they gave them to sleep on.
Yeah. Some kind of new technology that's supposed to be eco-friendly. It's called an air weave. I have no idea what that means.
It's called cheap as hell.
Yeah.
Looks like in Paris, by the way, today, yeah, Tuesday, July 30th, 95 degrees the high in Paris today.
Yeah, that's it.
Imagine trying to sleep without AC?
56% chance of precipitation as well, so right. It's also going to be
humid.
So it's humid, too,
yeah.
On top of it. Yeah.
Man.
And again, so what's the BS excuse for the no air conditioning? That's eco-friendly again?
Right.
Is that
no.
the same concept?
No.
Again, it's nonsense.
Part definitely is. And the part about the meat and the dairy, seriously, who put together the vegan, primarily vegan diet?
Garbage.
Thinking that that's what athletes would be eating before they're going out to compete.
Nonsense. Meat costs more. That's as simple as that.
Right.
They don't care if you have any protein or you eat well. They're giving you the cheapest option possible. And then they're going to give you some BS excuse as to why. It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
Yeah, it's too bad. It really is too bad because we're supposed to be supporting them. It's a once every 4 years plus. You bid on this. You bid on the games. It's not like they were forced on you, Paris, or forced on you, Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted them.
And we're going to see this more and more because every time that we'll complain and everybody complains and rightfully so. And then we'll forget. And 4 years later, you get different athletes and they sleep on cardboard and then we complain again. And in the bottom line, they still make more money. They'll do it again. They'll do it again.
Marco's very cynical when it comes to this.
Look, I admit that I'm cynical in general.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to saving money, everybody seems to be of the same mindset and concept. We will do whatever it takes to make every last dollar, and then we will deflect and blame it on everything else. So everybody complains about all the stupid things we're talking about. In reality, we just took all the money.
Well, and you wonder why athletes like the NBA do not stay in the stupid Olympic Village.
But
the tennis team, too, they could have saved themselves some trouble and just stayed somewhere else.
And unfortunately, Olympic athletes don't have a lot of money.
Right,
they don't have options.
Yeah.
That's not what this is about.
Right.
This is supposed to be, the purest form and being able to get. Nobody cares if you don't have any. They don't care. They don't care if you're getting paid. They don't care if you eat well. They don't care if you sleep well. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Online at A-Law Radio. You can find us and share your reactions. Some of you are. Also on our Facebook page. I did post on both places this week. We have preseason football. And I'm so proud of myself because you know me. I'm not great with the GIFs. But I managed to find Justin Jefferson doing the gritty. That seems like the right way to welcome back football on Thursday. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, she is. Here she is. Here she is. Look forward to hearing from you as we talk about the Olympics. Just now watching the U.S. men get to the pommel horse, which is their last rotation, as they were closing in on a bronze medal, first medal for USA men's gymnastics in the team competition in 16 years. So a major drought ended. I believe Japan edged China in the 1-2 spot, so gold and silver, but for our purposes, a bit ethnocentric and excited about the U.S. men. And as I say, if you haven't seen the routine by Steven Nedorosic, he was the last one to go. And it was pretty amazing to hear, as nervous as the men's team was and the American fans in the arena, they're cheering for him the whole time. You can hear his teammates encouraging him and spurring him on. And he goes through a near flawless routine and then sticks the landing and they lose it. That's it. All that pent up emotion comes pouring out of them. So it's pretty amazing. On Twix, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you've got some favorite moments, some of you responding as well to or just talking about the Olympians complaining about hard cardboard beds, complaining about not being able to sleep, about the food, about the lack of air conditioning. And now there's been a run on mattress toppers in Paris because if not hotel rooms, then mattress toppers, because some of these athletes, they recognize competing will be a whole lot tougher if they don't get some relief. And I certainly understand. I am not a great sleeper. I'm a very light sleeper. In fact, my husband and I, we are in the situation where he prefers a very soft bed and I prefer an extra firm bed. And since we are not independently wealthy and at this point cannot afford to buy a Sleep Number bed that is now on our wish list on Amazon. Just kidding. No, it's not. But we have talked about the fact that we at this point cannot purchase something like that. So we have to wait for a couple of years, maybe save some money for it. But we're trying to figure out all these different ways that we can compromise. And so we ended up getting this 3-inch mattress topper, egg crate mattress pad to go on the bed, thinking that it would make it a little softer for him, a little plusher for him, and that I would appreciate the mattress topper. No, it actually made it worse for me. Meanwhile, my extra firm bed is now in the guest room, and I keep telling him, oh, when you fall asleep, I'm going to go sneak in there and sleep on my old bed. So now we have put the mattress topper, the egg crate mattress pad, on the old, well, my bed, the bed that used to be in my room, the extra firm, to see if that might help. But we're going to try sleeping on the other bed to see if that works. We even tried cutting an egg crate mattress pad in half, so that it was just on his half of the bed and not mine. But the funny thing was, whenever I would try to roll over, I would kind of run into the edge of the mattress topper. So yeah, we're having that problem ourselves, trying to figure out the right bed. However, it's not cardboard, at least. So there's that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, again, love to hear from you. Brody Malone, the only returning Olympian for this USA men's gymnastics team. I'm watching, again, them go through their final rotation on pommel horse. He did an interview along with Steven Nedorosic on NBC. You can imagine what those few hours were like after they won the bronze medal. Excuse me.
It's been a little bit crazy. I mean, afterwards we got pushed back to, you know, do the medal ceremony, and then we had a bunch of media, and then we got to see our parents for like a half hour, 45 minutes, and then we got in a van, came straight here.
So it's funny because even as we hear him right now, I'm watching his family celebrate after his pommel horse routine. And then again, the unadulterated joy of his teammates. Once they're done, they're all running around like they own the joint, and they should. Meanwhile, in the background, because he was the very last one to go, Steven Nedorosic. And so he, of course, still has his routine. Not that he isn't watching what his teammates are doing. You'll see some smiles from him. He's a star at Penn State, by the way. But yeah, he's having to watch everyone else go before he steps up there with all the pressure.
There's one thing we talk about gymnastics, and it's positive momentum. And these guys did that to the T, especially on vault. You could get goosebumps from watching that back. And going up to Palmhorst, last guy up in the whole competition, I had a good feeling that our team was in a great spot. I just knew I had to go up there and do my job.
He was a world champion in Palmhorst going back to 2021. And if you hurry, as we head to our break here at the top of the hour, you flip on NBC, you can watch him. He's just now getting ready to perform his pommel routine. He was the last one to go, as he tells Mike Tirico there on NBC. Watch the rest of his teammates, their performances, and it's amazing to hear them scream for him and also to see his parents and how freaking nervous they are as they're watching their son go up there and try to perform this routine, this one routine that he's got to do for the U.S. to clinch the bronze medal. It's awesome. Don't miss it. Right now, right now, right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.